Read it from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Questions by Vidura, Text Number 42. Soham Harir Matya Vidambanena.
Soham Harir Matya Vidambanena.
Trisho Rinam Chalayato Vidhatuhu. Nanyo Palakshya Padavim Prasadach. The activities of the personality of Godhead, which are like those of a man in this mortal world, are bewildering to others, but I know of his greatness by his grace, and thus I am happy in all respects. Purport. Although he was the brother of Dhritarashtra, Vidura was completely different. By the grace of Lord Krishna, he was not foolish like his brother, and thus his brother's association could not influence him. Dhritarashtra and his materialistic sons wanted to falsely lord it over the world by dint of their own strength. The Lord encouraged them in this, and thus they became more and more bewildered. But Vidura wanted to achieve sincere devotional service of the Lord, and therefore became a soul absolutely surrendered to the absolute personality of Godhead. He could realize this in the progress of his pilgrim's journey, and thus he was freed from all doubts. He was not at all sorry to be bereft of his hearth and home, because he now had experienced that dependence on the mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. A person should not be in the renounced order of life unless he is firmly convinced of being protected by the Lord. This stage of life is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Abhayam, Shatva, Sam, Shuddhihi. Every living entity is factually completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, but unless one is in the pure state of existence, he cannot be established in this position. This stage of dependence is called sattva samshuddhihi, or purification of one's existence. The result of such purification is exhibited in fearlessness. A devotee of the Lord who is called Narayana Pura microphone. This one's... You want me to get one today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get two actually, I think.
Good.
Maybe a new stand as well. This, the result of such purification is exhibited in fearlessness. A devotee of the Lord, who is called Narayana Para, is never afraid of anything because he is always aware of the fact that the Lord protects him in all circumstances. With this conviction, Vidura travelled alone, and he was not seen or recognized by any friend or foe. Thus he enjoyed freedom of life without obligation to the many duties of the world. When Lord Sri Krishna was personally present in the mortal world in his eternal blissful form of Shyam Sundara, those who were not pure devotees of the Lord could not recognize him or know his glories. Avajanati mamudha manushim tanamasritam. Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 11. He is always bewildering to the non-devotees, but he is always seen by the devotees by dint of their pure devotional service to him. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Piranjana Salakaya Chakchurudhitam Dena Tasmae Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stavitam Dena Nutale Svayam Rupakada Mahayam Tadati Svakadantikam Mukam Karo Divachalam Pamulam Gayate Kadim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Okay, so number of points here. First one is that Dhritarashtra and Vidura were completely different. What was the difference? What was the difference between Vidura and Dhritarashtra? Pretty simple.
One was blind.
One was blind. Yes. Yep, that's a fact. But blind in a particular way, not just materially blind. Yeah, he was a fool. And Vidura is learned. Yep, what else?
He's a representative of Dharma.
Who's that? Vidura?
Vidura.
Yeah. And so then what was Vidura in that respect?
Strictly.
He's a devotee. And Dhritarashtra was what? A demon. Yeah, basic difference. Demon and devotee. Very, very basic. Difference, and so therefore their vision is different, or their understanding of things is different. The devotee and the demon are looking at the same things. The world is, you know, the forms of the world are all the same, but the underlying principles of devotional service are very clearly delineated or clearly manifest for a devotee who sees everything in relationship with Krishna, or at least he tries to see everything in relationship with Krishna. And he tries to utilize all of the facilities for the service of the Lord. What is it? Ishtavasya idam sava yakincha jagatam jagat. The devotee sees everything in the creation is owned and controlled by the Lord. And, you know, there's a certain liberation or freedom from the influence of the material energy when one sees it in relationship with Krishna, when one sees things as they are. Whereas Dhritarashtra and his family members with a demoniac outlook, they see everything in relationship to themselves and how they can enjoy it or manipulate it or control it or possess it. And as a consequence, they're bewildered by the influence of the material energy. When one looks at the material energy with an eye to enjoying it or taking it for oneself, then the influence of the material energy is such that one becomes bewildered. What is it? Kartaham iti manyate. He thinks he's the doer. Kartaham. I am the doer. Whereas the devotee sees everything as or in its relationship with Krishna, in its connection to Krishna, and tries to then see Krishna working behind everything. What is it? Ishvaraham? Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddhe sarvajuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutanam What's the last one?
Yantra rudhani
mayaya. Yeah. He sees Krishna within the heart of all the living entities, who are situated as if on a machine made of material energy. Material energy is working according to laws. You know, the sun goes up, the sun goes down, the moon moves around, and all highly predictable. Winter time, spring, summer, autumn, winter again, it all works according to a plan. So Dvani is able to see the plan of the Lord. So Vidura wasn't at all upset that he had to leave home. He might have felt sad or disturbed by the behavior, you know, the behavior of the of his family members. You know, just like a devotee is not happy when he sees others are working in ways that are unbeneficial for themselves. There's some vicarious enjoyment or suffering. When we see others are suffering, then we feel hurt. When we see them happy, then we also feel happy. Right? When we're out on Harinam and the devotees are chanting and dancing, and then we see other people even mocking us, you know, hurry, 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 hurry. I was at, where was I? I was at the barber the other day in Adelaide. And he's my father's barber. And I came in and He saw me, and the barber likes me. He says, "There you go, and sit down." And but he's next to the Greek club, right? Next to the Greek club, so they're all in there playing cards and gambling and stuff. Then one of the blokes came in from next door from the club, and then he saw me and he said, "Are you religious?" And I said, "Yes, trying to be." He said, "Good." He said, "I won't swear." And then he left, he walked out, and he was going, "Hurry, hurry, hurry, hurry." So I was thinking, so I was laughing. I was thinking, "Yeah, okay, good, he's chanting Hare Krishna." So he thinks he's making a joke of me, but actually Krishna's making a joke of him. In due course of time, he'll learn more of the mantra and it will act. So the devotee's happy to see, you know, the workings of Krishna behind everything. And unhappy to see when the demons are acting in a way that's not good for them, that will create suffering. We're happy when we see people chanting Hare Krishna, even if they're mocking us on the street. Sometimes it happens. Their devotional life is beginning. So, a devotee is able to see that Krishna's working behind the scenes, behind working according to his plan, due to the fact that the consciousness of the devotee is purified and is able to tolerate the changing, you know, face of the material existence. Material existence is always changing. One of the characteristics of a devotee is that they're steady in that always changing material world. The changes of the material world don't bewilder a devotee. Well, they shouldn't. We should expect change. That's the nature of material existence. It's always changing. Hot, cold, happiness, distress, pleasure, pain. But one understands that these things are transitory. And even if there's some suffering, that suffering is only for a limited period of time. And that ultimately is being orchestrated by Krishna for our purification, for our benefit. Even if it is very painful. Like it's painful, it must have been painful for Vidura to have been insulted by his nephew. Huh? Must have been painful. And it must have been painful for him that his brother kicked him out of his house. Huh? You wouldn't expect that from your brother. But under the influence of his son, because Vidura was always giving the Kauravas advice that was good for their devotional life. But, you know, what happens if you give a fool good advice? What happens if you give a fool good advice?
He becomes angry.
Huh?
Becomes angry.
Yeah, becomes angry. Gets angry. Krishna recommends, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant, but encourage them in acts of devotion. So Vidura was their well-wisher, actually, and he was encouraging them in acts of devotion, but still they got angry. Duryodhana, undisturbed, he accused he accused him of being a spy for the Pandavas. And also, I just mentioned here that he would have been upset that the Pandavas, the Kauravas went against, that Dhritarashtra went against the wishes of his brother, Pandu. So this is the difference between a demon and a devotee. The devotee wants to make progress in spiritual life. And Prabhupada says that here. Vidura wanted to achieve sincere devotional service of the Lord, therefore became a soul absolutely surrendered to the absolute personality of Godhead. So as he travelled around, as he made progress in his travels, then he, more and more he realized his relationship with Krishna, and he realized that the banishment, if you like, from home was actually Krishna's arrangement. You know what happens when you're at home, especially in an extended family, then what happens? What do you? You get caught up in politics. The mother-in-law, the sisters-in-law, favoritism. Experienced any of these things? You know, this is why sometimes the Indian ladies like to leave India and come here and live just with the family. No family politics. And the mother-in-law is not telling you what to do. You can do what you like. Huh? Although this is all illusion, mind you. What does Prabhupada say here? He says, he talks about freedom at home and freedom. Yeah. Freedom of life. Without any obligation to the many duties of the world. So he saw that as Krishna's arrangement. And he benefited from his travels and his dependence. You know, this is Parivrajika Acharya, actually. Right? There are different stages of sannyas. The first one is Kutichak, which means he lives a little away from the home in his own kutia, but he still has his meals delivered. It's a Kutichak. And then next stage is Bahudak, or Madhukari, where and so there's a certain amount of detachment. There's a certain amount of detachment from the home. He's not living in the home, but still a little dependent on the family members. Then Bahudak means, or Madhukari means, moving around and receiving alms from different places. Because the idea is that one has to build an understanding or build a mood of dependence upon Krishna, as opposed to, you know, dependence upon the wife and the children. Of course, Krishna's, you know, supporting us in all of those environments. But in family life, there's just this tendency to become bewildered and to see, you know, I've been looked after by my wife, I've been looked after by my children. So one has to detach oneself. And so the gradual progression of sannyas is to move away from the home, still get one's meals, and eventually by just walking around, moving around, one is able to, you know, stays in the kutia but still taking a little bit from everywhere, like the bumblebee Madhukari. The activities of the bumblebee just takes a little bit from each flower. So rather than being dependent upon one person, one learns to become dependent on many people, ultimately under the direction of the Lord. And then the next stage is Parivrajakacharya, where one understands that, and this is demonstrated here by Vidura, he was going anywhere. Manavendra Puri is a good example of this. Well, actually, you know, they're Paramahamsas. Even Vidura ultimately is a Paramahamsa. But the Parivrajakacharya just walks around and he depends upon Krishna's protection and is supported, has faith that Krishna will support him. It's like Manavendra Puri was in a similar mood. Completely dependent upon Krishna. But, as Prabhupada points out, that mood of dependence upon Krishna is a characteristic that's found in a pure devotee. This abhayam, fearlessness, is a result of sattva samshuddhi, which means purification of one's consciousness. Abhayam, sattva, samshuddhi. These are the first item of knowledge as described in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Is that right? Abhayam, sattva, samshuddhi. What's next? Anybody know? Jnana, vyavastitaha. Yeah, vyavastiti. And so on. There's a list of 23 or 20. Was it 18? Qualities of knowledge. So the first item of knowledge is fearlessness. Abhayam. So Vidura wasn't fearful, even though he was kicked out of the house and was more or less forced into, you know, renunciation. Actually, he was already renounced. So he didn't mind when he had to move on. This is, you know, we all ultimately have to move on at some point in time. And we have to be prepared to move as Krishna desires us to move. Well, that can be scary, because what happens if you have to move in this kind of environment as a Parivrajakacharya? It's easy for one to become scared. Why is that?
Because where he would stay the next day, he doesn't know.
That's right. Doesn't know what's going to happen. Doesn't know where his meals are going to come from. Right? Yeah. Of course, we know where our next meal is going to come from, or at least we think we do. This stage of dependence is called sattva samshuddhi, or purification of one's existence. The result of such purification is exhibited in fearlessness. The devotee of the Lord, who is called Narayana Para, is never afraid of anything, because he was always aware of the fact that the Lord protects him in all circumstances. And when he's getting bashed, what does that mean? What does that mean? tough love. Yeah, Krishna's softening us up. Yeah, it's mercy. Or sometimes we can be in a difficult situation and we just wonder, how is the world? What have I done to deserve this? Because the tendency is, you know, not my fault, everybody else's fault. I didn't do anything. Just like children. They misbehave, and then you come up to them, they're all fighting and crying. What's going on here? I didn't do anything, it was him. He did it. Right, when Chitrarupa caught the kids having a fire jugular in the front yard, and Dhruva had the matches. He said, what do you do with the matches? He said, they told me to do it. Wasn't me. Wasn't my idea. So we have to be aware that Krishna's so we see that in the character of Vidura. Why we study the Srimad Bhagavatam is to develop these qualities ourselves, and we, by associating with the personalities like Vidura, hearing his struggles, if you like, with his brother and nephews, and how he left home, and how ultimately he was protected. We also then develop faith and enthusiasm for engagement in devotional service developing this the kind of understanding that he had. With this conviction, Vidura travelled alone, and he was not seen or recognised by any friend or foe. Thus he enjoyed freedom of life without obligation to the many duties of the world. Now that doesn't mean that we should all, you know, pack up and leave the ashram and go off and do our own thing. Right? That's not the principle, because, you know, Prabhupada gives the example, you know, personalities like Vidura, even personalities like Srila Prabhupada, very exalted. And able to withstand the pressures of existence by themselves. That's a very rare person that can actually do that. Not everybody can do that. Which is why Srila Prabhupada established our society of devotees so that we could live together and benefit from the association of the devotees, from the association of the temple, and the strength that comes from good association. Vidura was strong enough to, you know, Prabhupada was strong enough to be able to withstand the influence of these externals, basically. But, you know, we can't imitate a personality like Vidura. But we should follow his example. His example is to maintain an environment where, in which we can make progress in our spiritual life. So, you know, if we try to, you know, just walk around trying to see this, you know, the Paramatma and everything by ourselves, we'll easily be bewildered and contaminated by the influence of material affairs. That's why we come together, and why Prabhupada established the institution of the Society for Krishna Consciousness, is because, you know, we need that association to be elevated to the point, as is described here in the character or in the consciousness of somebody like Vidura. And so therefore, you know, rather than travelling alone, we're better off staying together. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of a little stick by itself, easily broken. But if you have a bundle of little sticks and you put them all together and then try to break them, it's very difficult to break. So we need that association in order to get this sattva-samsuddhi, this purification of existence. We do that. We do the same thing in the association of the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity, studying the philosophy, taking prasad, distributing prasad, chanting Hare Krishna and then distributing the chanting of Hare Krishna. We do that together. And so we're able to come to the same position or the same platform of realization as personalities like Vidura, but applying the process of devotional service in a slightly different, in a different way. Then in that way we can see with the same vision that a personality like Vidura does. We're able to see the working of Krishna in everything, the workings of the hand of Krishna in everything. And so we're not and not be bewildered by the influence of material association. Material association is very powerful. It's easily bewildering. Just walking down the street and seeing that the activities of materialistic people is contaminating. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it recommends, if you see people like that, you should immediately go and jump in the Ganga. Right? Should immediately become, seek out some purification. So, we build up our strength in the association of devotees, then we go out and we preach, but then we come back again to the temple for our daily sadhana, because that's our purification. That's how we are able to see beyond the workings of the material energy, or see through the workings of the material energy. Vidura did it in a different way, but basically the same principle. And so then we're able to see, we're consistently able to see Krishna. And why we go out and preach, there's a certain degree of contamination that can come upon us while we're working or preaching or whatever, so therefore we come back to the temple in the evening. And then in the morning, we've had 6-7 hours of tamagun and dreaming, all this, that, the other thing, absorbed in a bodily, in the bodily concept of life. Then we wake up early in the morning, see the deities, chant Hare Krishna, hear the philosophy, take prasadam to get rid of that bodily identification. So we need that steady sadhana, and we need that steady association, or we need that association of the devotees, so that we can come to this platform of sattva samsuddhi, purification of consciousness, and then to this position of abhayam, fearless, and being able to see Krishna behind everything, even if there are difficulties. This is an advanced level of devotional service where one is able to withstand or tolerate the comings and goings. Right? It's quite an evening. The non-devotees are not able to see the Lord's hand in life. But the devotee is able to with this purified consciousness. So for us, it's essential that we stay in the association of the devotees. What is it? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Shastra Koi. Labha Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sava Siddhi Hoi. The Shastra proclaims. Even just a moment's association with the devotee is beneficial and can turn a person to become a are divided themselves. Whereas the association of materialistic people is warned against, one has to be careful. Rupa Goswami says, Sangha Chag, give up bad association. And when he describes the six items that are detrimental to advancement in devotional service, then again, Janasangha, association with the average bloke, average Joe Blow. Dangerous. Dangerous. You could just be driving down the street and somebody's got their radio on and it's playing some hit of the 60s, and then all of a sudden you're transported back to when I remember that song. I can't get no satisfaction. Or whatever. Very, very subtle. Material energy is also subtle in one sense. So we get benefit from by hearing and chanting about the personality of Vidura and the personality of Dhritarashtra. We look at the qualities of Dhritarashtra, we know what we should avoid, and the qualities of Duryodhana. We want to avoid those kind of personalities. We hear the qualities of a personality like Vidura, and we see his compassion, we see his focus in devotional service, we see his determination, and we become enthused by that example. Not necessarily that we follow all of his activities, because the activities of somebody like Vidura can't be imitated. But if we take the principles and apply them to our devotional practice, then we'll make progress. So does anybody have any comments or questions?
As you said, the Prabhupada is following strict resolution of Rupa Goswami.
Yes.
Usta Nishtaya Dharya.
Yes. Usta Nishtaya Dharya. Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat.
Even when he was hit by a cow in the street in Chani Chowk, he was not deterred from Prabhupada's moral strong.
Yeah, Prabhupada is an example of Parivrajakacharya. And it doesn't mean you walk around, right? Parivrajakacharya in this day drives a car, flies in an aeroplane. Jet age Parivrajakacharya. Narada Muni flies around on it using his Veena. Can
I? It's just a couple of times. When Prabhupada was in the Boweries,
yeah,
he showed the symptoms of living amongst these crazy people, but still dependent on the Lord. Unpredictable what every day would come, sometimes.
But even he left the Bowery eventually. Too crazy. He went uptown to the lower east side, right? Was uptown, uptown compared to the Bowery, but basically went to the hippie neighborhood, the lower east side, which was all pretty crazy too. Yeah.
Another example of Vidura is that Vidura gave an instruction to Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra didn't accept that instruction, but he didn't harp on about it. Rather than his mind getting disturbed, human behavior said, just leave the situation, let him give him good advice. and the reward.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have to be detached. We can give people good advice. But what's, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can give people good advice, but they won't necessarily take it. So then move on and look for somebody who will. What's going to...
Thank you for the class. You were talking about the power of association.
Yeah.
The importance of association. If people are inspired by our association, but we're... Like, how do we know it's actually a good association for them? Like, if we're... Our bhakti is not pure, like it's mixed with some other motives, like, and they're inspired
like what?
By that, and they're seeing you as you're their main source of inspiration. But how do we know we're giving them the real Krishna consciousness? Or how can we?
Well, basically we present the parampara understanding of our philosophy. So we present what Prabhupada's given to us. Prabhupada, you know, explains that a guru is basically a, like a post peon. The postman delivers the message or delivers, say, $200 to somebody. He doesn't take some of the money for himself. He doesn't adjust the message. He doesn't change the letter, you know, the wording of the letters. He delivers it just as it is. So, if we deliver the message of Krishna consciousness as it is, faithfully, even if we're not the purest of devotees, because we're delivering it faithfully as a representative of Prabhupada, that message will still have impact, will still have potency, because it's the parampara message. You don't have to be a 100% pure devotee to faithfully deliver the message and for it to work. You don't have to be. It's preferable and will have more potency, but it still has potency if it is delivered as it is, as it has been received from the parampara. That's the power of the parampara. So that's what we need to be faithful to. Even if we, and that's a mark of our own purity in one sense. Yeah?
I'm just thinking that when we're giving out books, the hand may be burnt and disfigured and completely not very beautiful, but still we're giving out the book and the people's accepting the book, even though it's coming from a disfigured hand.
Mm. Yeah.
The purity is.
They still get the benefit of the book. So this is a point that we teach in the disciple course, that Prabhupada says usually the spiritual master comes from is on the liberated platform. But he says one who may not be liberated, but who follows in good faith the liberated personalities, then they become gradually purified and are capable of liberating their sishya because of their faithful adherence to the process of devotional service. So, how do you know? Just be faithful to the process. Don't concoct. How's that sound? And how do you know how to do that? Read Prabhupada's books.
That was my next question.
Well, yeah. Do I take that?
The process you mentioned as going through the different stages of renunciation.
Yeah.
Are the bodies in this call expected to go through this process?
Well, Kuti Chuck. I'm sure there's an equivalent practice. A lot of our sannyasis these days are actually brahmacharis, not that many householders. And in one sense, householders, if they're preaching and active in devotional service, there's no need for them to take sannyas, right? Because their service is probably going to be more productive beneficial for them and for others if they remain in the household ashram rather than create a disturbance. How would it be if I said to a teacher Rupert tomorrow, oh, I'm going to take sannyas now. See you later. She'd say, you're not taking sannyas tomorrow, I'm kicking you out now. It's got to be looked at practically, and it's a gradual development of renunciation, so that's what that principle is, gradual detachment, principle of developing gradual detachment, right, and so it can be done. It can be done, the husband may move into the ashram, wife can live with the children, but in this day and age it's kind of hard to see how to apply this practically. It can be done, but it needs to be, and it can be done in the ISKCON environment. Whether it has to be done exactly like that, rather we should accept the principle of gradual detachment, and that may mean that the husband and wife live together, but they're preaching. Right? And that's renounced. As renounced as they need to be. Right? So, the idea of gradual detachment, yes. Whether applied in that same way or not, it depends on the individual.
It'll happen sooner or later.
Sooner or later it's going to happen because we've seen ourselves that when our God brothers and God sisters leave their bodies,
there seems to be a total samadhi,
There
becomes a stage of samadhi, total surrender.
Yeah, we can do that. Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not absolutely necessary to take sannyas and be Krishna conscious. Right? You can be Krishna conscious at any time. Alright, I think we should finish here. Grantra Sima Bhagavatam Kijo, Shalom Kijo, Gora Lakavinda Kijo. It's a codicil today, does everybody know that?